The Holy Gospel for today is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter, and this is a rather weird gospel. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what I will do. When I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors, one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe the master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The gospel of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from our God and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Key verse in this confusing text, sounding like we're lauding someone who's deceptive. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Our parable describes a greedy manager who thinks only of himself. When discovered being dishonest by the owner, he plots a way to take care of himself when he is fired. He offers to reduce the debt of people who owe this rich man. That way, these people will be endeared to him. He had no care for these debtors, obviously. He was making his future better only for himself, so that these people would like him and maybe help him. Oddly, the master commends him for his shrewdness. Overlooking the dishonesty and his taking care of himself, regardless of others. Jesus concludes the parable with this. You cannot serve God and wealth. Okay, let's look at this. John and I both looked at this text and the oddness of it. But we concluded that there is a point. You can take one of two roads. The clever worldly one, that path, or you can take the spiritual godly path. You have choices. Some of you may know that I was an ardent journalist for the truth, fairness, and multiple reliable resources for quite a few years in my first career. They are a rare breed these days, honest journalists. For that matter, the four W's that were drilled into our heads to be in the lead sentence sometimes are missed if you watch or read a story. My first career was that of a journalist for the truth and the betterment, at least I thought, the betterment of society. I used to defend the media as being the fourth estate. that a state for truth in our world that would bring us home. Some mainline media still do that. They're very careful about that. So we do have some reliable news. But I no longer recognize some of the game playing that goes on, the politics that goes on in our world. Maybe it's because the world arena, did my mic go off? The world arena has changed so much. I looked at a sermon that I wrote on 9/11, 21 years ago. We just passed that milestone in our history. I preached the week of 9/11 at Truax Church down the road, where I was serving for a number of years. Some media sensationalism was active then, too. If we take the tragedy of 9/11, 9/11, as they purposely picked, as the Taliban, in its sadistic gallows humor, would relay, journalists then saw a horribly dishonest manager of our news media appear. Let's look at these journalists. Who? We're going to do the who, what, where, and why. When. The heartbreaking truth is, we didn't know for sure on that day, on that week. Taliban kept changing names. They stole names, had multiple identities, but they knew how to get news attention. They got a lot of it in our world and tragically killed thousands of our Americans that morning, and we are still mourning. What? What? We didn't immediately understand this whole trade center thing as the epicenter of their killing machines. Actually, our killing machines, Boeing, made in the United States, killing our people by them. But we do now. We do now. Terrorists saw it as tall buildings of American enterprise and greed. That's what they still see. So they thought, but our innocents were killed that day because they thought that way. They got us where it really hurts. 21 years later, it still hurts. When? 9/11 looked like the beginning of a beautiful day in God's country. I was headed to Chippewa Falls. I was director of Lakeland College out where the old county hospital is. I went, stopped at the RCU bank, no longer there, but the north side one on my way. And I walked in the bank and no one was doing anything. I couldn't get anyone to wait on me. I didn't know what had happened. And finally, I got someone's attention. They said, "Watch this." And it was just horrible. Of course, I saw what was happening. When I got to school, Marianne King worked with me, and her husband called and said that he couldn't figure out what was going on. He was in Detroit and couldn't get a flight. And I said, "You have not heard?" I had just heard. Where? It was at America's highest monument to business and capitalism, the World Trade Center, and they knew it. Interestingly enough, it wasn't just in big cities, New York, Washington, D.C., no. My daughter, Sonia, worked at Grang's Theater in Eau Claire at the time, that day, that night. After 9/11, she came home that night after the last show, and she was night manager there, and she relayed this ominous, weird happening that seemed connected to 9/11 to me. For 2 weeks, two white vans would pull up with young men from an Arab country, popping out of the vans and going to Rush Hour, an action movie where you didn't have to know English. They could watch it every night for 2 weeks. Not only that, but they each one dropped $100 bill to pay for their $8 ticket. My daughter was really getting worried because she thought they're going to figure out I have to go up to the safe and get more change for all of these $100 bills. They're going to figure out. And she knew that Gary Joles, who was the manager from Chippewa Falls, by the way, had been robbed at one time, and she was on a loan. She was afraid of that. Well, she saw one person who had a shirt on among this whole group of young Arabs. And she went up to him and it said, "Instructor." And he spoke English. And she said, what are you doing here? What is the deal here? And he said that they were from, my daughter was a junior at the university. They're staying at the university and they came through the Boston airport and they're taking flight lessons at Gibson Aviation in Eau Claire. Well, my daughter didn't think much of that because 9/11 hadn't happened yet when she asked him. Since she was a student there, she said that she didn't recognize one of those people. And she knew she had some Asian friends and she had some Arab friends, but she didn't recognize any of them. And they all looked younger than college students. The night of 9/11 came. She recalled this scenario in her head and how she was so afraid of being robbed. She came home and related the whole story to me. And I quickly advised her to call the FBI. She did not think that they would be there after midnight because she had just deposited the night amount in the bank and it was after midnight. And I said, "Oh, I think they will be there. This is 9/11. She called them. They had her on the phone for over a half hour. Later that week, the Leader Telegram had this huge story on one of the pages about an anonymous tip by someone in Eau Claire to the FBI about a whole bunch of United Arab Emirates men being trained to fly planes at a local airport, Gibson Aviation. And of course, we now know these terrorists infiltrated all these small towns throughout our country. And then, once they learned a few things about small planes, they graduated to Minneapolis in this case. And we know that one of the terrorists from 9/11 trained in Minneapolis at the international airport. Until it came time to land the plane, he didn't care about that. He didn't learn that part. 21 years later, we know the source of this story and that other hate groups are bent on our destruction, mass destruction. The question for humanity will always be the same as when Jesus was crucified. Why? Why? A good journalist goes to the why and the how of a story. That, along with the how, are the in-depth journalist's best stories. When a child is born, a mother and a father want certain things for that child. We all have that in mind. Happiness, health, a good living, perhaps. Being a righteous and loving person, those are my key things for my family. No matter of the others, the top ones are being righteous and loving people in this world. It is only when events like the Trade Center occur do we see the worst and the best in babies that grow up. No one asks for a terrorist in their family. That behavior is chosen and followed down a very, very twisted and dishonest path, a path less taken. Robert Frost wrote a poem, and I think he thought both roads were good, but I'll read it anyway. "Two roads diverged on a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just and fair. I shall be telling with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood. And I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." Robert Frost. One child took his beliefs in God to fanaticism, a dark road less traveled, far from the tenets of his Islamic faith. Just as a Christian child took his thoughts down a dark path in Oklahoma City, a Christian young man. Two roads diverged. In the case of Robert Frost, as I say, I think he thought they were both equally good. You just have to choose one. But the intelligent, he was intelligent, dark-sided Osama bin Laden took the lesser in the good family. He came from a good family. Others' lives meant nothing to this misguided quest. Others get an opportunity to show their better angels, however, in this road less taken. Thank God we had another side. That fateful day, Flight 93 faced the same certain end, slamming into an American institution. We didn't know, and I don't know if we do yet, whether it was going to be the Capitol building or the White House, but it certainly was going to be something that Americans love. A baby named Todd Beamer grew up into a man who chose the path on one sunny day in Pennsylvania. That was a beautiful day. I remember it. Beautiful, at least as far as the weather. He saved perhaps thousands of lives with one heroic act. That plane was destined, as I mentioned, to one of our American treasures. And as Jesus said, one who loses one's life will find it. No greater love as a person than to lay down one's life for another or many others. In this case, perhaps thousands. Todd and others did it. There's a high school in Washington State named Todd Beamer High School. You can take the clever worldly way, or you can take the spiritual godly way. We have both here. Some would say we no longer have heroes. It just takes someone on the road less traveled, where the roads diverge, to choose not the lesser, but the higher road. To roads diverged. The truly important things God has called us to be in this world, do not circle around self-serving management as we have in our weird gospel for today. They call us, especially in time of religious zealots and hate, to return to the fundamental tenets of Christian, Islamic, Hindu, and Jewish faith. Love one another as I have loved you. They all have that tenet of faith. That is to take the road of peace, shalom, shalom, pax. We need to be investigative journalists and ask the how always. How can a baby grow up to be hate-filled to the degree of bin Laden? Or how can a baby grow up to be a Todd Boomer? How does that happen? Perhaps we need to look at how they grew up, where they grew up. And finally, we must ask the why. Good journalists always ask the why. Why did one become a dishonest manager, steward of the earth and its people? One other taking the road less taken for the greater good, for saving others. Let us know the who, what, when, and where of God's world. But more importantly, let us be critical thinkers and get to the how and the why, so that we speak and act with Christ-like love and compassion. It is the road to salvation in loving paths of righteousness. The road best taken with the Spirit of Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us join together.